Let's get ready to enter into the teaching of the word. If you would join me by opening up your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, you may stay seated. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. We're thankful for the worship team, the musicians, the ushers, those that work upstairs, those that just make everything excellent. We can give them a hand clap and thankful for their ministry in the church. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. So this is a parable that many of you have heard before. I pray that it would minister to you today. And our theme is receiving God's blessing. Receiving God's blessing. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Receiving God's blessing. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. As I've studied it out this week, Lord God, and prepared myself, you have stirred up in my heart this word for your people. You have ministered to my life, Lord, and I know, Lord, that this morning you're going to speak to the heart of someone. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us, that our Sunday would change our Monday, O Lord. We ask, Father God, that you would be glorified in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Receiving God's blessing. So Jesus here is teaching through a parable. It's not a real story, but a real life story. But it's a story that Jesus uses, a current day illustration, to teach a spiritual teaching or reach a spiritual need of the people of that time. And in this story, he has a tax collector and he has a Pharisee, right? He has two men. He has a tax collector. Most of us are familiar with the tax collectors of those times. They were considered the worst of society of that time. They were considered a traitor to their own people. They were socially outcast. They were considered thieves. They were always known to be people that would only affiliate with themselves. Tax collectors only affiliated with tax collectors because they were hated by the people, but they had the protection of the Roman government over them, and they would collect the taxes from the people, and they would send it to the Roman Empire, Roman government, and they would sometimes take a little extra for themselves. They were known as evil. They were known as sinners. They were known as outcast people, traitors. No one ever wanted anything to do with them. Even in the eyes of God, they would be looked upon as sinners, right? Then you have the Pharisee. So the Pharisee was the one that held the law of God, held the Torah, the law of Moses, one that knew it well, one which was known for their spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting and consecration. So you have this person that is projected as spiritual, consecrated, holy, and then you have the tax collector, known as a traitor and a sinner. And Jesus presents them both. And here we see that the tax collector, Jesus says with regard to him, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. The tax collector, looking for a forgiveness, a sense of repentance is being shown in him, reverence to God, confession, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, remorse, feeling bad for the lifestyle that they have lived, beating his breast. And then you have the Pharisee, who he's standing there, and he prays, thank God I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. He says, I fast twice a week. I give my tithes of all that I get. He highlights his own righteousness. He compares himself to others. He reminds God of all the good that he does. And Jesus finishes the teaching, letting all the people there know that the sinner, the tax collector, he went home justified. He went home with a spiritual blessing. He went home with God's kindness over his life, God's goodness over his life, God's grace over his life. And this parable is not about teaching us how to pray. It is teaching us what is the heart that pleases God, which is the individual that walks away with God's heavenly blessing, with God's approval. Whose conversation really pleased God, and who is the one that leaves the presence of God blessed? This parable teaches us, if we're not careful, we can walk away from God in the same condition that we approached him. The parable is teaching us, if we're not careful, we can walk away from God in the same condition that we approached him. The parable is teaching us that we can actively approach God and still walk away empty, in the same spiritual condition that we approached God. The Pharisee went to the temple to pray. He went there to fulfill his religious responsibility. And after he was done, he left the same way he went in. Jesus is clear in this teaching that this man, the Pharisee, was not justified. He did not receive the spiritual blessing. It's a reminder to us that just because we approach God looking for his blessings and looking for his kindness over our lives, we cannot expect to receive all God's goodness and all God's blessings, all God's kindness, just because we approach him. See, salvation is based on grace. There's nothing we could ever do to earn salvation. It's based on the love of God for humanity. And Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. And there's nothing we could ever do to earn that. It is God given to us. But God's continued goodness and kindness over our lives is a response to the way that we live. God's continual goodness and God's continual guidance and God's continual kindness over our lives is a response to the way that we live. Some may think, because I went to church, I should be good. Because I went to church today, I should receive every heavenly blessing. Well, church in itself is not the source of the blessing, right? We could only point to Jesus, who is the source of the blessing. So if we think that we're good because we come to church, or we think that we deserve something from God because we're faithful with our offerings, or we think that God should bless us because we're doing certain things, well, then we're mistaken. It's the change of life, it's the way that we live that leads us to God's kindness and God's goodness over our lives. And the church says, this parable is a warning to us. Jesus is teaching us to guard our hearts, not to think of ourselves so spiritual, but he reminds us that our relationship with him is not based on traditions, but the most important thing about our relationship with him is to allow the working of his Holy Spirit to change our lives. Yeah. That we could approach him in a way that's pleasing to him. Yeah. Could it be at times that we come to church expecting to leave different and we feel the same? Could it be at times that we feel like, well, I don't feel like something is happening or something is changing in our lives. I don't feel like something is happening within me. And the Lord is letting us know this is not about rules and regulation. This is not about tradition. And it's not about a religious culture. But it's really how we approach God, knowing who he is and who we are. So looking at this parable, looking at this teaching that Jesus brings us, talking about receiving God's blessings, three observations I want to share with you, three teachings I want to share with you this morning. The first one is, the parable teaches us how we look at others affects our spiritual blessing. How we look at others affects our spiritual blessing. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I thank you that I am not like this man. And he points to a weeping, crying, remorseful man. Jesus is teaching us something here. He's reminding us that how we treat others matters with regard to receiving his spiritual blessings upon our life. Not only how we treat them, but how we look upon them. How we consider them. How we think about them. Do we look at others differently because they're a different religion? Or a different skin color? Or speak a different language? Or perhaps of another social status? If we do, we've lost our spiritual blessing. The Bible teaches us, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And significant, and the word there, count more significant than yourselves, it means to be ready to reach their needs even before you reach your needs. It is a reminder to us how we think of others means something to God. How we look at others means something to God. And when we look at Jesus' earthly ministry, he was always about the other. He always looked for the outcast, for the sick, for the sinner, for the possessed. We can hear the words of Jesus looking at the sinful woman that all wanted to accuse her, all wanted to stone her. And he looks at her and he says, "Where are your accusers?" And he says, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." When we look at Jesus, he looked at the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years and no one wanted to do anything with him. No one wanted to help him into the water. Jesus reaches him and tells him, "Take up your mat and walk." And later finds him and tells him, "Go and sin no more." Jesus always went to those that were considered outcasts. To the sinner, he looks at him and says, "Your sins are forgiven." To the possessed, he liberates them. Jesus is the example, and he reminds us that if we want a spiritual blessing, it is important how we look at others. And the church says, when we see someone struggling in their faith, it's not our job to judge them, but it's our job to walk with them. The Bible says two are better than one. When one falls down, the other one can help him up. It's a reminder to us, when someone is battling to try to do well, it's our job to meet them in their place of need. Not because we're more spiritual, but because we know that God has cared for us and he's called us to care for them. Could it be at times that we haven't received all that God has for us because we wrapped ourselves up in our own little world and we forgot that God has called us for others? I love what Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." What a challenge for the Christian, for the mature, for you and I, those of us who are strong. We're able to help those who struggle in their faith and lend them a hand when they fail. This is the job of the church, and this is the one that receives a spiritual blessing from the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning that we would evaluate our lives and how do we look at others? How do we look at others? How do we think of others? And that we would ask the Lord, "Lord, help us to see people through your eyes and help us to love people as you have loved them and to be available to them as you have been available." And sometimes, you know, we feel good because we do something good, but yet our heart is still compromised. Lord, help us to have the heart that pleases you. And it's in that place where we find God's spiritual blessing. And the church says, what can we learn from this parable? We can learn that how we look at others will affect our spiritual blessings. Number two, to highlight our good deeds doesn't impress God. To highlight our good deeds. I love that the Pharisee says, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes and all that I get." He highlights his good deeds like if he is going to impress God. "Look at all that I have done." In my notes, I wrote LOL, laugh out loud. It's current day, right? He highlights his achievement. "I'm not like other men." Have you ever had to sit and talk with someone and all they want to do is talk about their good deeds? How much they have achieved, how much money they make, what type of job they have, how good they are, how much they do in church. Towards the end of that conversation, you're like, oh God, help me. I need to sit somewhere else. Could you imagine how God feels? Right? Some may feel because, you know, all that I have done in God's kingdom, all that I'm doing in God's kingdom, there should be a special privilege for me. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been serving in God's kingdom. There should be a special privilege, something I teach, I sing, I serve, I preach. There should be something extra for me. When we approach God this way, we walk away empty. We walk away empty. God's spiritual blessings upon our life have everything to do with the way that we approach God. And if we think that we deserve something because of what we do, then we've missed the mark. Even sometimes our spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible reading, and fasting, it's not something that we should be looking for someone to applaud. It's the very need of our soul. It's what strengthens us. It's what comforts us. It's what aligns our will with God's will. It's where we find God in our spiritual disciplines. Let us not walk around telling people how much we pray or fast, looking for any applaud. We do this because it's the very need of our soul. Right? Some do their good works and they want others to know their good works, and they're looking for someone to applaud their good works, right? But our good works is simply a reaction of gratitude for all that God has done for us. It's a simple reaction of gratitude. I'm a beggar that has found bread, and today I offer bread to another beggar. We come to the reality that it's just a reaction of our gratitude to the Lord. And it does not call for an applause. Our commitment to living a holy life or a consecrated life to God, it's not something that we should be looking for God or anyone to applaud. In fact, when we think about it, we wanted a changed life. So Christ saved us and changed us from a life of sin and shame and guilt and remorse, and because of the grace of God that has sanctified us, and we've gone through a process of sanctification, and today we're not who we wish to be, but we sure are not who we were once, and we come before the Lord not looking for an applause, but we come before the Lord recognizing His grace has saved us. We were once lost and now we're found. So we come to the Lord not looking for an applause, but we come to the Lord thanking Him for the changed life that we now have. See, when we understand this, you know, we should feel embarrassed to present ourselves before the Lord and say things like, God, why? I've been doing this, I've been doing that, I've been doing... Why would you allow? Why am I going through these things? Why am I battle? No, we've come to understand that if we are faithful in our disciplines, faithful in our good works, faithful in consecration, it's all a response to the salvation work of Jesus on our lives. So if we're trying to get God's attention by highlighting some of our good deeds, I want to tell you this morning that highlighting our good deeds will not give us a chair on the front row in God's classroom. He already has our attention. We already have His attention. We already have God's full attention. And we can come before Him even in a broken state. And there He will minister and help us and lift us up. For that's what His work does. So sometimes we find ourselves highlighting our good deeds. But God is letting us know it's all a response to His good work. And sometimes, and I'm about to offend somebody here today, sometimes when we find ourselves highlighting our good deeds, it may be just to hide other issues that we're dealing with. So the Lord is just reminding us here today, come just the way you are. We never need an applause from God. He wants to minister and help us each and every day. So I want to remind you today, if we want God's blessing comes when we're reminded how we look at others. We don't need to highlight our good deeds. And what else can we learn from this parable? This parable teaches us a third point. This parable reminds us that how we approach God is important. That how we approach Him is important. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We see this man who was considered a bad man, considered a man with no friends, considered a man who had been an outcast, a tax collector. He comes before the Lord, and the scripture teaches us that God is always inviting all people to come before Him. The scripture teaches us that God is always opening up the doors. We've quoted Hebrews 4:16 many times. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. An invitation on behalf of God to approach Him with confidence, regardless of our state, regardless of our need, regardless of our brokenness, regardless of our struggles and our battles, with confidence, we can approach His throne of grace to find mercy and grace for the opportune moment, for the time of need. So how we approach God is important. It's to understand that He always has an open invitation for us. In Revelation, John writes that Jesus says these words, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and that person with me." An open invitation on behalf of Jesus to approach His throne of grace. So how do we do it to receive the blessing that the Lord has for us, right? So we can learn from this tax collector four quick observations. We learn that we approach God for a spiritual blessing first through reverence. This tax collector would not even lift up his eyes. Reverence. He would approach God with a deep respect, knowing who God is and knowing who we are. Let us remember, let us not be so religious to think that it's just a routine or it's just an image or He's just historical. But there is none like our God. And His presence demands reverence. And we should approach Him knowing who He is. When God calls Moses from the burning bush, He tells him, "Take your sandals off, for this place that you are standing on is holy ground." It's a reminder. This is who you are talking to. It demands reverence. And as we approach God, regardless of our condition, whether we feel that we're spiritually healthy or whether we're in a place of spiritual need, either way, we approach God exactly the same. He is God, and we are not even worthy to be in His presence. It's reverence. And God's presence demands reverence. So I want to encourage you in your alone time with God, in your solitude time with God, in your corporate worship as you are here, that we would approach God knowing who He is and remembering who we are. He is our great God, and He demands reverence. His presence demands reverence. That is the person that receives God's blessing. What else can we learn from the tax collector, from this story? It's also humility. Humility is not deserving. It's not proud. Humility defined as not proud. It's not deserving. That we would approach God knowing that we don't deserve this, but His grace has reached us. James writes, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." It's a reminder to us that we don't deserve it, and God gives us grace. By my own, I don't have the right to be in this place. By my own, I don't have the right to be in God's presence. But because of Jesus, I have been justified. And because of Jesus, I now can stand before the Father.
Jesus is the key that opens the door and allows us to abide in the same room with our Heavenly Father. And when He looks upon us, He looks upon us with grace because the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, has washed away all our sins. And it allows us to come into His very presence. But let us not think that we deserve it. There is no good work that allows us to obtain that favor. No, it is simply the grace of God. So when we approach God, whether in solitude or in corporate worship, we approach Him in humility, understanding it's undeserved. And that is the one that God says, I want to bless. What can we learn from this tax collector? We could approach God with transparency and vulnerability. I love that Jesus teaches us that this tax collector announces his weakness, announces his struggle, not to portray something that we're not, but he announces his vulnerability and he says, forgive me, for I am a sinner. We see remorse in him as he beats his breast, desiring change. We see a vulnerable spirit. When we read the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, we also can see his vulnerability when he says things like, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. The Apostle Paul being vulnerable and transparent and naming his battle and naming his struggle, that we would approach the Lord the exact same way. God, I'm battling today. I'm struggling with my weaknesses. I'm struggling with my frailties. I'm struggling with laziness or lust or sin or shame. And I'm battling with these things, oh God. That we would approach the Lord vulnerable and transparent because we cannot deceive Him anyway. He knows our very need. But those are the ones that walk away justified. Those are the ones that walk away with their spiritual blessing. And what can we learn from this tax collector? Reverence, humility, transparency, but also confession. God, he said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Confession, acknowledging and recognizing that he needed God. We must acknowledge and recognize that we need God. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. We must remember that confession needs to be a part of who we are. Lord, I blew it today. Help me, Lord. Lord, I'm struggling today. Help me, Lord. As we approach the Lord the right way, we walk away with the spiritual blessing. And the church says, amen. So what is this parable teaching us? This parable is teaching us that if we want, now we can pull out other points from other places in Scripture, but with regard to this parable, it's teaching us that if we want God's spiritual blessing upon our life, how we look at others matters. It's important. How we think of others, it matters to God, because He's taught us that He has saved a world, humanity, and He wants us to have a passion for all people. This Scripture reminds us that highlighting our good deeds is not going to get any applause from God. Highlighting our good deeds should be recognized as something of weakness and vulnerability that we're walking around with. In fact, highlighting our good deeds will never call for an applause from God. That we should remember that we come before the Lord and any good deeds that we do is only a response to God's grace and God's goodness. Spiritual disciplines are a response. Good deeds, a response of gratitude, right? We come to understand this. A consecrated life is a response to the goodness that God has done. So we don't need to highlight anything that we have done because it's all a response to the good that God has done for us. And we're reminded in the Scripture that how we approach God is important. So we approach Him with humility. We approach Him with reverence, with transparency and confession. To obtain what? God's spiritual blessings over our lives. God's kindness, God's goodness, God's leading over our lives. This man walked away, this tax collector walked away with a spiritual blessing. The Pharisee walked away the same. The tax collector walks away with a spiritual blessing. He needed forgiveness. He received his forgiveness. He needed a new opportunity to start all over again, a new life. And God told him, you've been justified. Right? He needed grace, something that he didn't deserve. And God gave it to him. Today, maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, I'm in a place in my life where I need God's spiritual blessings, God's kindness, God's goodness, God's leading. This doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Salvation is by grace. But we must evaluate our lives because the way that we live is also important. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you need God's blessing, God's kindness, God's forgiveness. It is a time to evaluate. How do we think of others? How do I think of myself, my good deeds? And how am I approaching God? So that we can find forgiveness, restoration, so that we can find a renewed spirit, so that we can find ourselves in a place where God's spiritual blessings reign upon our lives. And the church says, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get ready to close. Perhaps there's someone here today that the Lord is speaking to and you feel distant from God. And you feel like, I know the Lord wants to do something new in my life, and I'm at a place where I want to walk away from the temple with God's spiritual blessing. The Pharisee and the tax collector both went into the temple. One walked away the same, the other walked away justified. And maybe there's a struggle or a battle within your life and you're saying, the Lord is speaking to me to make some changes in my life, to evaluate some things so that we could enjoy the kindness, the goodness, the leading of the Lord over our lives. Perhaps you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you and you would like prayer. As we sing this song, the altar is open. We invite you to come. Our pastors would love to pray with you this morning. Maybe there's someone here today who's far from God and you feel like, I'm far from God. I need a touch of God upon my life. I'm far from God. I feel like I need God's blessings, God's kindness, God's forgiveness. I hear God speaking to me, telling me, approach me with reverence and humility. Approach me with vulnerability and confession. I hear the Lord speaking to me that way. Approach me that way so that we could obtain what God has for us. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're far from God, or you need to reconcile to the Lord. Or maybe today is the day that you say, I'm going to make a commitment to serve God. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If that's you today, as we sing this next song, I want to invite you to the altar. We want to pray with you today. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.